What is the meaning of the Epiphany, the feast we celebrate today? Look at the creche. Look at the creche scene. Why is it that the coming of three magi from the east to Bethlehem, bearing gifts for a newborn infant, is so important? First, let us imagine the scene. Joseph, Mary, and their newborn infant are home in Bethlehem, surrounded by Jewish shepherds, so peasants. They are visited by highly educated royalty from the Orient, who have traveled hundreds of miles by the guidance of a star to meet a baby king. They bow down before him and give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, in one and the same scene, we find a family, mother, father, and child, humble Jewish peasants and shepherds, Gentile intellectuals, royalty, angels, and farm animals, all at once, all coming together to see and worship a newborn baby king. So in one and the same scene, the Jewish priestly line of David, symbolized by Mary and Joseph, meets the myriad of other nations, symbolized by the men from the east. And all of them come together around Jesus. In one and the same scene, the humble, the poor, the uneducated, symbolized by the shepherds, meets the royalty, the nobility, and the wealth of the nations, symbolized by the magi and their gifts. And all of them come together around Jesus. So in one and the same scene, the angels of heaven and the animals of the pasture meet, and they all come together around Jesus. So friends, look at the creche. Look at the creche and see its meaning. Yes, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, but today we celebrate that all the nations of the world, represented by the Magi, come to worship him as their king. Jesus is the King of the Jews, but he is also the King of every nation. He's the King of the Jews, but he is also the King of the people to the east, people to the west, the north, the south. He's the King of every continent, the King of every race, every ethnicity, every language. This is the good news of the Epiphany. Humanity finally is united around their one and only Lord and King. Okay, that's great. But haven't we tried this many times? Don't we keep trying this same thing? What makes this different? Haven't we also been striving for this same peace, unity amongst the human family, solidarity amongst all races, languages, and peoples? What makes this different? Isn't this what we keep trying to do and continue to do? With all of our effort? Why is the child in the manger any different? What makes this unity and harmony amongst all peoples and all creation any different? Well, there's little doubt that human history is full of our own attempts to create or manufacture this kind of human peace and solidarity amongst our family. Peace on earth, solidarity among all peoples without Jesus Christ and his church. Generation after generation after generation after generation is tempted into assuming that if we just get the right political system, if we just get the right economic arrangement, the right maybe economic rearrangement, and then, oh, finally, then we have to just top it all off with just the right ruler, just the right king. Finally, we won't get any of those bad ones. We'll get the good one in there. Then we'll have peace and solidarity and unity. Then we'll have that utopia that we all wish for. And we keep trying again and again and again and again. It always fails, and it always will. All political power will fail in achieving that human solidarity that we all desire. Political power will fail since it will never cure the heart, and it will never change the soul. It will fail since, first, it can only rearrange human affairs by external force or coercion, never change the soul, change the heart. And second, it will fail because it only presupposes the human unity that it attempts to achieve. Instead of causing human solidarity, it only has power because of the human solidarity already assumed. Also, generation after generation after generation after generation has been tempted to assume that if we just learn to tolerate one another and just get along with one another, right, and be nice to each other, then everything will be fine. I don't bother you, you don't bother me, then we'll all have peace. Why can't we, as the bumper sticker tells us, just coexist writ large in all the symbols of all the world religions at once? It's beautiful. But it never, ever works. It never, ever, ever works. Human attempts to just get along, let's say tolerate each other, will always fail because at best, they are superficial, merely cosmetic. Vain and shallow togetherness that merely glosses over and ignores the original wound of human sin that really divides. Mere tolerance of one another is never real love of one another. Tolerance of one another is never unity. It's actually only a veiled form of indifference. It's apathy with a smile. And every man can see this. Every man can see this. If he meets his wife after work, and instead of saying to his wife, "Honey, I love you," he says, "Honey, I tolerate you." He will quickly see that tolerance and love are not only not the same thing, in many ways, they are opposites. They are opposites. Love always forgives. Real love always bears with weaknesses. But real love and human solidarity never tolerates evil, ever. Also, okay, generation after generation after generation after generation has tempted to assume that we can find that unity, peace, and serenity that we see in the creche if we just learn to unite around our common humanity. Our common humanity. If we respect that common humanity that we all share, right? But how often have we gotten this one wrong? Whose common humanity? Who decides? Who decides the boundary of what is the truly human? Look what we've done in the past. Look how often we've gotten this wrong. Is true humanity, for example, only a male and not a female? People have once thought this. We've made that mistake before. Are the boundaries of the truly human a certain skin color? A certain ethnicity? Maybe a certain language? We've made that mistake. Are the boundaries of the truly human a certain age? Maybe only those after the age of 12 are truly human with human rights. Only those after the age of 7. We've actually thought that in the past. Or maybe the only subject of true human dignity is those after birth, after passing through the birth canal. We've made that mistake today. We keep getting this one wrong. Again, union around an abstract common humanity will never give us the serenity of the creche. Because again, it only presupposes a union around what it even means to be human in the first place. Brothers and sisters, today we find our answer. Today, in Jesus, we have our long-awaited answer to humanity's searching for peace and unity. In the words of the Second Vatican Council, Jesus Christ reveals man to himself. Jesus is the Savior of the whole human race, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor. He is the sole Redeemer of humanity. And as the Redeemer of all humanity, he brings all nations and people together in himself. Only in him do all peoples find their source of the unity and peace we desire. He brings all humanity together because he first assumes our common humanity, and then he redeems our common human nature through his death and resurrection. He brings us together because in him, finally, at last, once and for all, we find the cure for our common human wound that was the source of all of our division in the first place, that was sin. In Jesus, the original unity that all humanity had while in the bosom of our first parents is once again restored. There will never be unity in the human family without the remission of sins. Sin is the cause of discord. And there is no remission of sin apart from the life and sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the baby in the manger. So let us again look at the creche and see its message. Jesus is our Lord and King, our Savior around whom we all come together. So like the wise men from the East, let us with our lives bow down, worship him, and do him homage. Amen.